Where do the misfits go when they want to fit in? Cause I'm feeling alone. Where do the oddballs roll and the psychos swim? Cause I want to fit in.
Welcome back to The Everyday Actor. I'm your host, Emma Dayton Peterson, and this is episode 11. Today we get to hear from Lily Wexu, who is a voiceover artist and an author. She wrote the books Get Clever About Voice Acting and Announcing, which is a step-by-step guide about getting into the voiceover industry and also how to stay in it. So for those of you who have experience in editing sound, you know how long and frustrating the editing process can sometimes be. Well, I loved editing this episode because Lily's voice is so damn beautiful and just so calming. I want her to read me a bedtime story every night for the rest of my life. And I know you're all going to have the same experience when listening to her. So here we are. Without further ado, here's Lily Wexu. Well, Lily, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
My pleasure. It's such a pleasure.
I'm really excited, especially during this like COVID kind of quarantine. VO has been, of course, just such a big topic. And I always am looking for more information, and your books are fascinating and just really, really great resources. So I'm just so excited to have you on here.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say when you paused there, I was going to say voiceovers and voice acting are like a lifesaver.
Yeah.
they really are. Yeah. For actors. I mean, it's just this thing that you can do. And I was listening to the podcast that you did with Aiden Red.
Okay.
And it was great. Like, he touched on so many important things in that. And we can dig a little bit deeper. But in this time, it's really a blessing, because I know so many actors not only are losing their jobs, like going on set, but like restaurants are closed. Like every possible source of income is just like gone away. So, but I guess I want to tell actors, like, don't worry, there is something else for you. It's not going to be super easy, but it's accessible. It's more accessible than you think, you know?
So now that we're kind of further into COVID, are you seeing more and more auditions, more and more work in the voiceover world, or is it kind of still the same?
You know, when this thing started, I thought, oh my God, everything is just going to stop. Like, one of my biggest clients, they're an advertiser, and all their stores were closed across the country. And I was like, oh my God, like, that's a huge chunk of my income. I was like, this is horrible. But then all these clients came out of the woodwork with all this COVID messaging that they needed to do. And I actually, it's always busy for me in the spring, but this year was like bananas. It was crazy. And then now what's happening, it's kind of like, you know, when people just got really fed up and started going out, like, just like, I feel like some people are just like, the quarantine is over. Like, I'm done, you know, and I get
right.
It. This has been really, really hard. You know, it's kind of like came back to normal, and that people were kind of like over all this COVID stuff. And now I'm seeing it. It's just still coming back because it's not over. So honestly, there's tons of work. August is typically a slower month, because it's vacation time and all that. But overall, in general, I just see as many auditions from my agents, from the internet, from everything. Like, there's still a ton of work. Yeah.
That's really good to hear.
Yeah. Like, the voice industry, regardless COVID or not, like, COVID is yes, it's creating, you know, all the companies have to create messaging to address COVID. Like, you know, we're doing things safely. We care about you. We don't want you to be afraid. And here's how we've modified our services or our product, you know. So all the companies have to do that. So sure, there's more, you know, work to be done. But that's the voice sector is just booming. It's booming regardless. Like, even when COVID slows down, it's still going to be booming. So it's not something that anybody has to say like, oh my God, I have to get on that train now. It's going to go. It's going to be over. Like, no, this is, you know, do this for the long haul, because this can give you more money than a day here and there on set or stage work, which, you know, is all great, but it's just a great way to make a living, like a 5-6-figure income if you work really hard and you apply yourself. And, you know, it's not going to be like that, but right. It's something that it's not going away. Like, look at all the content that we consume. There's voice everywhere. You know, there's on top of, you know, in the elevator, on the phone, like just everywhere. So it's just a really booming sector. And actually, I will be curious to see production-wise if there won't be more and more animation and video games produced as a result of the fact that filming is becoming a real pain in the butt. You know, like small sets. Or small sets or safe sets, but it's also annoying because you have all these protocols and it's just a lot of red tape. And, you know, actors can just work from their home. There's like literally no problem. So I have a feeling that if this keeps going, especially if this keeps going, that funds that were initially intended for live action might slowly transfer to the animation sector, you know, where you can create all that content and have all the humor and the drama and all that. You know, adults, we'll watch anything. We'll watch animation. It doesn't matter. But have the process be a lot easier.
It's really good to know. I think when a lot of us get into acting, especially a lot of our, like a lot of the listeners, we don't even consider voiceover at first because we don't realize how much of acting goes into it. And then you take a workshop and you're like, okay, this is acting. If anything, it's more acting. So it's good to know that there's more out there.
Yeah, it's a lot of acting. In fact, you know, when I started about 20 years ago, you could have just a pretty voice and do well. You know, you wouldn't necessarily generate six figures, but you would do really well with a great voice. You know, now because actors have been hired over the years, the trend has been to hire actors. Like when you get a John Hamm and a Julia Roberts and a Julia Margulies and a John Krasinski to record commercials, the bar is raised for all of us. So all of a sudden, you can't just have a pretty voice. Like you have to bring your acting skills. And this is why, like, you know, in my books, I talk about three pillars of voice acting. There's the first one is becoming an artist. The other two pillars are becoming a technician. Like you have to just plug gear in and have a space to a quiet space to record in. And the third one is you have to be an entrepreneur a little bit. You know, if you love getting likes on Instagram and Facebook, well, you kind of have to be the same way about like sending your demos out there and being addicted to like getting a response, you know? So there's three pillars, right? But without that acting foundation these days, like it's just, you can know how to record your voiceovers and you can be great at marketing. But if you're not bringing your acting chops in, you're going to have a very limited experience. Now, the same is true if you have great acting chops, but you don't, you know, go through the hoops to just try to plug stuff in and have a quiet space. And if you don't market yourself, you're also going to have a limited experience. But somebody might take, like an agent might take you by the hand. You know, that's not a great way to go about it, to just put all of your hopes and dreams on one agent, because there's a lot of competition even within an agency, you know. But you could have that chance where somebody will take you by the hand. But if you don't have those acting chops, it's just going to be very limited. So yes, like bring your acting. That's what's going to make your auditions stand out. And that's also not only auditions for bookings, when you can have a few really good takes on some really simple lines. Like I'm thinking about commercials, you know, like sometimes we have like five words to say, you know, so if you can bring your acting to that and make those words specific, like really specific and mean something to you in that moment, you're just going to be someone that producers and casting directors and engineers love, because they're going to go, okay, this one is giving me some options to work with that are going to stand out. My brand is going to stand out thanks to this woman's acting chops.
Right.
So yes, it's a lot of acting, you know, it's very limited if you're not going to bring your acting to it. So I say, like you were saying with Aiden too, like theater training is the beginning of it, you know, because if you go and if you go at this and you start with, let's say, you're like, okay, I'm going to take a commercial class, or you're going to be limited. You're only going to be able to do that, you know, and you're not going to be competitive on the market. So yes, bring your acting chops.
So I would love to go back to the beginning and kind of figure out or find out how you got into it and what kind of got you started.
Okay. Well, you know, when I was a kid, and I don't know if you've had this, I think anybody who's a singer certainly had this. You'll find a lot of people in voiceovers have had a singing background. And I tried to have a singing background. It didn't work, but I'll tell you the story. So when I was a kid, I just had a strong connection to my voice. Like, I don't know if it's because my voice was lower than all the other kids, and I just knew something was different about my voice. But I just felt like I had this little magic superpower, and that somebody should like discover me. Like, I was like, in my head, I was like, this is something that needs to be developed. And then I remember watching Adventures, I think it's called Adventures in Babysitting. It's a comedy with Elizabeth Shue, and she babysits these kids, and then she takes them down into a bar, down in a cave, like in Chicago, in a blues bar. And there's this woman singing the blues, and I just went like, that's what I'm going to do with my voice, you know? And then a little bit later, my mom put me in the singing class, and it just turned out horrible. Like,
oh no,
they singled me out, and they're like, they had us all singing, and then they said, oh, there's a buzzing bee in this group, and they just made each and every one of us sing. And then when it was my turn, they said, oh, you're the buzzing bee. And I just got complete, like, I should have stuck to it, but I just like was horrified by it. And I put my ambitions of using my voice and being discovered and all that aside forever. And then when I was 19 years old, I don't know, that I worked in a restaurant. It was like a restaurant bar. And that year, like, I don't know, that's never really happened since. But that year, everybody was like, oh, my God, you have a radio voice, like, you need to be on the radio. And I was like, OK, sure, you know, whatever. What am I going to do with that? Right. And I was studying acting, and I just wanted to be an actress. Like, I was like, radio, like, oh, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And the bar I worked at, there were these DJs. It was like basically a local hangout for these DJs at a nearby local radio station, because they aired their lunch hour radio show there. And so they knew me, and they kept saying like, oh, you got to come to the station. Like, you have a great voice. You belong in radio. And I was like, there were these older guys. And I was like, as if I'm going to go to the station with these guys, you know? But yeah. Then one day there was this campaign, and I'm originally from Montreal, which is a bilingual town. Like, people speak French and English, and all the content that is produced generally needs to be produced in French and English. Anyway, there was this campaign that something happened, and even though you would never hear French, like a French commercial on an English speaking radio station, they did that for that camp. It was like some event happened, and they wanted to do that. So they knew I was bilingual, and they said, oh, this is your time. Like, can you come and translate these liners, which are radio liners, which are like little radio station identifiers. Like, you're listening to, you know, like iHeartRadio or whatever. Right.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, those are radio liners. So they're like, you can translate those liners, and then we'll get you behind the microphone, and this will be the beginning for you. And I was like, okay. And I went over to the station, and I swear I must have done like 50 takes of this like one freaking line. But finally, I guess I got it or whatever. And then that guy, one of those DJs, was a total sweetheart. His wife and his kids, they always came to the restaurant, and they kind of became like family, you know, and he kind of took me under his wing, and he had a home studio. This is like way before anybody had a home studio. DJs were a huge part of the movement of the home studio, because they already had, like, they were already worked with gear at their studio. So they were ready. Like, they already knew how stuff worked, even when gear wasn't as portable. Like, now we just like plug stuff in, and it's like, oh, it's like, here you go. It's all easy, you know? But back then, like, he knew all that stuff. So he had a home studio, and he taught me how to have my own studio. And he just would call me in for commercials, and he kind of trained me. And then after that, I kind of branched out and did my eye. I ran with it, really. So yeah, that's pretty much how it started.
Very cool. So you do also have TV and film credits. Correct, right?
Yeah. So yes. My whole thing, you know, Yeah. So I wanted to be an actress. Like that was my thing. Like I was I'm an actress and I'm going to be an actress. So I trained as an actress and I worked in the market where I'm from, Montreal. I worked a lot and never like huge roles, but I was like kind of the same thing as I do here, like day player roles, like just go in 1, 2, 3 days. And the thing is that eventually happened, and I'm still an actress and I still have an agent and I still, you know, audition and go on set when, not right now, but usually. But the thing is that voiceovers kind of, it just paid me so well.
Yeah.
And also the thing about it for me is that there's a really direct correlation for me. Like the more acting training I do, like the more work I book, like it's like a direct correlation. And if I just relied on the work that I did on film and TV, I wouldn't have enough meat. Like there's not enough, like the scenes are just not juicy enough for me to really grow as an actor. So I always have to stay in training to just stay on top of it. So being an actress, it's funny because that was my like end goal. And it still is in some ways, you know, but the thing that acting really served me for this thing, for this voice thing. So it really is this arm of acting, you know, it's like this tentacle of acting. So, but yeah, I'd love to do, you know, more film and TV. But the thing is, it's also hard sometimes. Like my agent will, not my agent, but my manager, actually, he's a sweetheart. But sometimes like his assistants will like send me to these like low budget things. And I'm like, I can't afford to miss a day in the studio for that.
Right.
Like I'll go on a legitimate set, but I can't justify going on set, like unless it's like an amazing project with an amazing director and the script is amazing and you just want to do the characters great and you know, like there's some like really clout behind it. But like if it's just like a student thing or like something that's like, oh, they're just trying to shoot. It's like, no, sorry. Like I can't. Like it's just the studio for me is where it's at because financially it's just been really helpful. So, yeah.
I love that there are other options though. Like I love that you went into it looking to be more on the screen and you found this other thing you love. So it's helpful to hear that as someone kind of just starting out that it's going to be okay.
Yeah, well, there's lots of actors who find a home. I know, you know, like the last class I was taking in person just up until recently, you know, there's one guy in class, he's an audiobook narrator and, you know, is a great, fantastic theater actor. But for some whatever reason, you know, it's been difficult to get as much film work as he'd wanted. And he narrates audiobooks and he does really well. People want to hire him all the time. And so it's kind of like one of those things, like I feel like that's kind of life. Like sometimes like you have this plan, but then life kind of tells you like, hey, there's this other place for you to be and it's still within your realm, but like you're going to do really well in this one thing. And you kind of have to, you know, we're in an industry where like appeal is just this very mysterious thing. Like you can work really hard. You can be trained. You can have all these things for you, but for some reason, like you're just not trending right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just a weird thing. And this, you know, I've been in this business for a long time. And I remember like when I was in my early 20s, like I was super popular. And then in my like end of my 20s, early 30s, like nobody wanted to hire me like on camera, you know? So it's just, and then in my early 40s, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I was like in again.
Interesting.
So when you do this for a really long time, yeah, when you do this for a really long, and it could do with haircuts and like, who knows, you know what I mean? Especially when you're doing like smaller roles, like when you're a day player, like your appearance is like so, you know, instrumental in booking certain parts. I mean, it's all about acting, but if you look the part too, it's like, boom, you know, you just book those gigs. And I'm usually really good at that, but there's these trends sometimes. And so through that, voice acting is a thing where you can have a different response. You know, so it's like you can be this, you're the same actor, but for some reason, people respond to your voice and how you speak and communicate. And like, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Because it just opened the field to just to saying like, okay, well, I can still be an actor. Feel really like rewarded, like especially if I think of audiobooks, books. You know, I know lots of actors right now who are really thinking about that, because if you read especially fiction audiobooks, you have to be a really great actor. Like you cannot be a subpar actor. So all that theater training is really going to help. And you get to play all these characters, and it's just so rewarding. Like you're reading really good literature, and it's just like, you know, instead of reading a play or a script, you're reading a great book.
And what's becoming bigger too that I've been seeing is podcasting. There's more storytelling podcasts and fictional and news podcasts that are hiring actors, which is, I'm excited about because I'm, of course, a podcast junkie. So I'm really excited about that aspect. And I feel like that's a newer trend. I don't know if that's new, right?
Well, podcasting is new. It's a new media. Nobody really knows where podcasting is going, but obviously it just responds to the need that we have to, like, you know, I feel like there's so much noise in the world with social media and the internet and everything, right? So we've become niche, all of us. We're like, I like this, you know, and I want more of that, you know. So podcast kind of is really a place for you to find that niche thing that you love, you know. So yeah, podcasting it's awesome. You're reminding me of that show. I just love it. It's so crazy, but the guy is so funny. The Veil. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I don't think I've seen it. It's a podcast,
It's a podcast. And it's a super weird kind of like universe, and like all these weird things happen.
Oh my God, I would love that. Really cheesy.
Yeah, he's like a super cheesy kind of like narrator. I think it's called like Returning to the Veil or like something Veil, like the night, maybe the Night of Veil or something like that.
Something about Veil. Okay, cool.
Something Night, I think, and Veil. Yeah. And it's just like super weird. And the narrator is like this like cheesy, corny, like narrator, but then there's like these actors, and it's just brilliant, you know. And I'm sure you have ones that you listen to, and it's like really great acting.
It is.
And the thing is, people will now less because we're not driving so much, but like podcasting is like the perfect thing to listen to in your car when you're cleaning. It's like audiobooks, you know. It's just the type of thing that it just keeps you entertained and engaged, and yeah. So I think podcasts are definitely this new thing that we all have to watch, and especially for actors. Like I kind of wrote a little thing in my book about podcast. I was like, look, we don't know anything about it. Like we don't know. Like right now I'm just thinking of intros and like, yeah, a couple characters here and there, but like maybe it becomes a big thing. You know, once you get like bigger actors in them, like watch it. Like this thing could take off, you know?
Exactly. So yeah. What I like about them that I think is important to the entertainment world is right now, with all the TV and YouTube, we're constantly being flooded with pictures. And I think our brains can't always, I always have the TV on. And it's like, I think that's why I like podcasts, because I can turn off that part of my brain and still get the story, still get the information, still learn, but like my eyes can rest. Like it's a whole part of my brain that can rest. And I think a lot of people have that experience, which also with voice acting, I think that also you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think part of it that makes voice acting a little bit harder acting wise is that people are only listening to your voice. So you have to do everything through your voice. They're not getting your facial expressions, your all that. So it makes it harder, but cool. But like, fascinating at the same time.
Yeah, but it's also like it's just like entertaining too, you know what I mean? Like you're learning something or you're being entertained, or it's just like I remember the first time I listened to an audio, like it just podcasting reminds me of audiobooks, because I remember when they came out, like, and I still had a tape deck, and I remember listening to Ethan Hawke. He you know, he's an author, and he narrated his own book that he wrote. I can't remember what it was called, but it was awesome. Like Ethan Hawke is like reading his own book, and I'm like in the car, and I just put this tape in, and I can just drive for like 3 hours and like get into this story, you know. It's just, we love, I mean, it's the same thing as like binging on Netflix, you know, but except it's like, it's just more intimate,
because I feel it's the same, like, way.
Yeah, it's just more intimate. It's like, it's made for, it's almost like, I guess, two people talking to, instead of like 15 or like some action going, it just feels like somebody's talking to you, you know, which is incidentally really important when you do voice acting. You always want to be like talking to someone very specific, but
okay,
podcasting does that. Yeah.
When I'm listening to like some of my favorite podcasts, I find myself, if they're hosts or interview, I want to talk to them later. I'm like, okay, I want their opinion on this. And then I have to be like, Emma, they don't know who you are. Like, because it does feel like they're catering it to me, you know? Okay, but going back a little bit, in your bios and everything, you're the voice of the Olympics. I want to hear about that. Mm-hmm. What does that entail? What does that mean? That's very exciting.
Yeah, it was, that's like the craziest gig, which by the way, I got on my own that gig. Like I didn't get that through an agent. So that just goes to show that the sky is really the limit with voice acting. You can just go out and get your own clients. And I did with these guys.
That's awesome.
But you know, yeah, but these guys, the Olympics was nuts because thankfully I had a bit of practice. Like I got hired through a friend. It was a friend of mine who referred me, and then I kind of chased them around a little bit. But I did this countdown to the Olympics back in Vancouver, so it was like a year before something like that, like a year countdown to the Olympics. And it was kind of a practice run. I think a part of it was broadcast and a part of it wasn't. Anyways, it was kind of like, to be honest, I think it was probably like my first live gig at that point. And I was kind of terrified, but being an actress, you know, especially like theater trained, I was like, okay, well, it's going to be like, just like that, you know, I'll just be live and whatever, you know? And I did that. And so it was really intense. Like anything televised is like really intense because it's like everything is timed to the second and things can go wrong. And people are, so you wear this like, you know, these headphones, but you have like people talking, like cueing other parts of the show. And it's just like, you're really like all of your attention is there. And it was like a thrill. It's like a scary experience, but it's also, it's just thrilling and so rewarding. Like you really feel, I guess it's like theater where you feel like you're in a team of people. And so that's how it felt. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I remember, so I lived in Vancouver up in Canada when Vancouver got the bid to do the Olympics. And I remember I told my roommate at the time, I said, I'm going to do something at the Olympics. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to do something. And then like somehow those guys like hired me. I kind of chased them around a little bit and they hired me to do the countdown to the Olympics. And through there, I found out who was doing the Olympics and producing that event. Luckily, like my name went around and I got chosen for it. And honestly, it was the craziest thing, because it's like the biggest thing in the world. Like everybody's watching, like they kept saying like, oh, so many millions of people are watching. Oh, no. Okay. So, oh, 1 billion people are, or 2 billion. And I was like, okay, stop with the numbers. I was like, I just need to like get through my script. And you can't mess up when you're doing like live announcing like that. Like you can't screw up a word. You can't. And I'm like, sometimes I feel dyslexic and I'm like, so I like say scripts out loud, like I chew my words out, like so that I won't trip on them. But sometimes I make changes last minute, and so it's like I'm like my mouth, I look like a crazy person, like moving my mouth and like making sure, because also, like for that, like I'm bilingual, so I'll work in usually in two languages when I'm announcing live events, especially up in Canada, and there are different muscles in your mouth, so I trip up more than normal people. So anyway, the thing that I remember about that event, aside from that, it was amazing. The team I worked with, they were just like these pros. Like it's like the biggest event in the world, and they're like cracking jokes in the headphones, and they're like, they're just pro. They're just at that level where they so have it down and they're still having fun. It's like when you do a play on opening night and actors like prank each other, you know that you can't crack, but you're just like, oh, damn, that's funny. You know, it was kind of like that. It's just, but the one thing I remember is that it was a technical thing. The one assistant or whatever came up and he said, he gave me this box and he's like, okay, he's like, when you press this box, the button on this box, like everybody's going to hear you, like in the stadium and on TV. And he said, but you have to press it again to stop, to make sure that the sound doesn't keep going, like if you keep talking. And about midway through rehearsal, he was like, he changed the box on me. And he was like, okay, this one, you just have to press it. And then if you release it, you know, we're not going to hear you in the stadium. And then I was like, no, I was like, okay. I was like, no, I was like, can you just give me the same box I had before? Because like that, I just remember thinking like I've worked my whole life to be in this most crazy, highest profile event. I will remember this for my whole life. And my entire existence now revolves around this button. Like
that you've never
worked with.
You don't
lift that button. Yeah. Like if you don't lift that button, like, and you talk nonsense to like my teammates, like everybody in the stadium and in the world is going to hear me, you know? So it was just like those little things, like when you're doing like a high wire act, those tiny little things become like your entire universe. I was like, button, did I release it? Did I not release it? Like, okay, yeah, I released it. And I would talk to my like co-announcer and be like, yeah, it's like so crazy, you know, those little things. So that's kind of what I remember about the Olympics, is just like this little box that like was like determining my future, whether I would like mess it up. And like nobody would ever hire me again, ever anywhere, because if I screwed up, I would screw up like in front of the entire world. So yeah, it was really special. I love announcing for games, because games, I find that like athletes are like artists, or good artists are like athletes. You know, it's all about surpassing yourself. Like, what can you do better? How can you push yourself to places you've never been before? And when you're announcing for an event like that, like you're celebrating that aspect of humanity. And it's like, just like people just doing things that are, you can never imagine doing, yeah. You know? So it's like being around superhumans. So yeah. Games are really special, and the Olympics is really on top is like the ultimate of all that. So it's pretty, pretty special.
Absolutely. Well, I'd also love to hear about the books you've written.
So I wrote these books. I guess they've been years in the making, really. When you do voice acting, everybody always asks you like, how do you get into it? Nah, how do you do it? And I want to do it. You know, writing has been something that's been part of my life since I was a kid. Like since I could hold a pen and string some words together, I've been writing. I've always had a journal. It's just how I process things. And like things aren't real to me unless I write them down. And I guess that process yields so many observations and notes that I'm always thinking like, maybe this could be useful to someone. Like when I moved to LA, you know, when you're from a different market, you move to LA, it's like such a different ball game here. And I was thinking like, I wish there was like a guidebook about like all the little things that like, I don't know. And like, maybe somebody else could learn from those mistakes. And eventually that's what I did. Like I compiled all my notes and I created a little book for actors that are interested in working in LA. And so the voice acting book was kind of the same thing. You know, it was like, okay, I've got all these notes. And so it was just a matter of more when and not if for me. So these books, basically they're like, I feel like they're like a compass that will guide you through the maze of voice acting. They're like a modern day compass. They're like the street kid version of the dummies books. You know, the dummies books are super simple, but they're thick. You know, mine are like short to the point, and you can read them in one or two sittings and really get the information that you really need to get through this, to get you into voice acting, and then to stay employed as a voice actor. So they're really like a roadmap or a compass to help people make a living with their voice.
Awesome. Well, I did get a chance to look at them, and they're really great. I can't wait for the listeners to get to read them themselves. Super, super valuable information. Just to kind of wrap things up, what advice would you give to a beginning actor if you could choose one thing?
I would say just go for it. You know, you don't need permission to do this. Just if you want to make a living with your voice, if you feel like this is what you want to do, just go for it, because the sky is really the limit. This world of voice acting can surprise you and reward you in ways that sometimes acting won't. So it's a fun world. The community is amazing. There's so many resources. And I guess my advice is just go all in and yes, there's the technical part and there's the sort of entrepreneurial part, but you already do all those things in your life. The gear has gotten so easy. You are more adept at handling like all these apps. Like, you know how to handle all these apps and all these technologies. You can do this. Like, the technical part is, it's totally manageable. It can be frustrating to deal with sound, but that's just something that you learn. And you have to know that everybody is in the same boat. Like, we all have the same frustrations with sound, like, oh, damn, the neighbor, or like my husband, or like my boyfriend, or my girlfriend, or like whatever, right? Like the dog, you know, there's always, we all deal with that. And you just have to know that there's a solution to every problem. And I guess, like, for the entrepreneurial part, which I know holds a lot of people back, you're already doing that stuff on social media. Like, you're putting yourself out there and you're hoping to get some positive responses. You do the same thing in business. So it's just transferring those skills and getting a little bit more sophisticated at that and being more targeted about what you're doing, but it's the same thing. So just don't let it be scary. It's a new world. And if you want to be in it, you can make your place in it. This really, the sky is the limit. You can try it, and no agent, nobody can tell you your limits. You decide. So just do it. That's my super long answer.
I love it. Not too long at all. Well, Lily, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This has been wonderful, and I can't wait for everybody to hear.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was great. And I wish you all the best. And I know you do voice acting, so just keep at it. If you put energy into it, you will reap the benefits.
Lily, thank you again for coming on the podcast. I just so enjoyed speaking with you. And I've been reading the books more and more, and it's just so invaluable. For everybody listening, please check them out. You can find the books on her website, getcleverabout.com. They are called Get Clever About Voice Acting and Announcing. They can also be found as ebooks on Amazon and iBooks. And as always, please subscribe, rate, review the podcast. It makes our everyday actor family a little bit bigger and brings in more listeners. You can also find us on Instagram at Everyday Actor Pod. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, just want to say hi, send me an email at everydayactorpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next time. Our theme music was brought to you by the lovely Alyssa. To hear more of her music, you can check out her Spotify, which I have linked below in the show notes.